Today's daf is daf yud in the Gemara in Shabbos, and we are picking up from about 7-8 lines down from the top. We finished off yesterday with the interesting discussion of how a person should prepare himself for davening, hikon likras alokecha Yisrael, and we continue with the words, Rava barafuna rami pusmekeu mitzale. So in order to make sure that he was davening properly, so Rava would put on his best clothing. He would put on socks, fine fancy footwear, and he would go and daven. Omar hikon likras halokecha. He would say, I'm preparing this way to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rava did the opposite. Rava shade glime. Rava would take off his very fine garments and put his hands together, he'd clasp his hands together, and he would daven in that situation. Why? He said you have to be like a servant. I want to look like a person who's totally subordinate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he would take off his fine stuff and not demonstrate I'm an arrogant, rich, fancy person, but he would bedavka want to show himself to be humble. The opposite was Dama Ravashi. Dama Ravashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kahana. I personally saw Rav Kahana. He got Sara Bialma. If there was suffering in the world, then Shadi Klima Ufarcha Yodim Atzle. Then he would want to be in this very subservient, subordinate position, and he would take off his fancy garment, and he would put his hands together and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, in that situation, he would say, Alma ki abda kame mari, because in that situation, he wanted to be totally subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, ki ikoshama, in times of peace, when things were, you know, Baruch Hashem, better, so then he would put on his fancy garments, lavish, umiskase, he would dress himself up nicely, umisate, pumatzle, and he would go and adorn himself properly and go and daven. And then he would say, the pasuk that we brought down, Alma hikon likras alokechi yisro. A person should always dress up properly in shul. Certainly, one should try to wear clean clothing, and certainly one should try to wear nice clothing to daven in shul, even not on Shabbos. And certainly on Shabbos, one has to wear a fancy special clothing. You're davening to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're giving him kavod. A person wouldn't walk into the president, he wouldn't walk into a king, he wouldn't walk into his boss wearing lousy clothing. So lamaisa, we daven properly by wearing nice clothing. Gemara continues, Rava Chazi la Rava Muna, the Komarach Mitzlose, Rava once saw the Rava Muna was davening a very long Shemoneh Esrei. So Rava was surprised, Amar, Menichin Chai Olam, Yosim Chai Shah, for a person like Ravina, like Rava Muna, he's going and davening so long, when instead he should be learning, right? If a person is spending most of his day learning, then he's saying when he's learning, he's doing Chai Olam Haba. But when he's davening for this world, he's davening, he should have Parnos, he should davening, he should have health. So a person like this is going to leave the Olam Haba and go use his time for Olam Hazeh. Didn't make sense. Rava was surprised at Rav Nuna. However, why did Rav Nuna do this? Who saw Rav Nuna's opinion was, Man Tfilah L'chud, it's Man Torah L'chud. No, is a person has to set aside time for davening, just like a person has to set aside learning. We, of course, follow this approach. Nobody's on the Madrega today that they don't really have to daven, although we bring down that there were individuals that, in fact, could get around davening on a regular basis because they were such great people. They only daven once every 30 days, but lemaisa, nobody exists today like that, and we all have to daven the three tefillos of the day. Similarly, the Gemara brings down, Rav Yirmiya chaza hava yosef kamei de Rabbi Zeira. Rav Yirmiya was one sitting by Rav Zeira, v'hava osku b'shmaisa, and they were learning together. They were discussing halacha. So shmaisa means halacha. What happened? Nigal itzaluye. It was now getting close to the time for the shkia, and they had to go and daven. So hava masarev Rabbi Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya quickly got up from the learning. In other words, he left the learning. And Rav Zeira was not happy with this. Rav Zeira said about him, Kari Elel Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said about Rav Yirmiya, Meisir Ozno Mishmo HaTorah, Gam Tfiloso Tuev. If a person goes and leaves Torah, so his davening is like an abomination. His davening is a terrible thing. In other words, he did the wrong thing. He shouldn't have gone and turned away from the davening, from the learning, and go to daven. So Tosos brings down that he obviously still thought there was time left to daven. That's why Rav Zeira was upset with him. Rav Yirmiya must have thought that there wasn't enough time left to daven. So in this situation, they're having a discussion over here whether there was or was not enough time for them to daven. So Rav Yirmiya ran out, and Rav Zeira said there still was time. He shouldn't be so quick to run away from the learning. Then the Gemara says, we end the Mishnah, all the different activities that we said, you shouldn't do them when it's time to daven mincha, so me'emos hayas chol din. So the one thing that we didn't discuss then was, how do you say that the start of a din? What defines that the beis din sitting together, that you shouldn't do this before you daven mincha? So the Gemara says, we have two opinions over here, Rav Yirmiya and Rav Yona. I don't know which one said which. One of them said when the dayanim go and put their cloaks on them, they're supposed to cover themselves up, they're supposed to show a certain humility over them, that they're understanding that This is a very solemn thing. So therefore, they wrap themselves up with their talesim. And the Rashi says over here, "Kishaposkin b'din me'emas shchina," because of the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "Felo yivnu roshan l'kanu l'kan." They shouldn't turn their heads looking all the different ways. So they're, so to say, forced to focus. "V'tei da'etam yusheva salam." So that's one of the two Amoraim said over here. That's when the start of the din is, when they put their robes over the head. So to say, they put their talis over the head. The other Amora said, however, we don't know which one said which, "The chademarmesh yiftuchu baledinim," when the baledinim over here, when the two parties to the litigation over here, when they start their arguments, their tainus, so then that's when the base then starts. So they seem to be two separate opinions. One says low pliga. They're not actually arguing with each other. It depends if it's the first case of the day or is it the second case of the day. If it's the first case of the day, then the judges have to start by putting on their talus over their head. Mishiyatsu ad dayanim. But if it's the second case of the day, they already had the talus over their head, so then it's when the dayanim starts. That's what the Gemara says. Ha da'aske v'asubedina. If they already have been involved in the first case, so then it's when the second litigants start, because they already are wrapped up. And ha da'aske v'asubedina. And if it's the first case of the day, so now you start the setting of being in a din when they put their talus over the head. Now we have the Gemara we had previously in Brachos, as well as early in the Masechta. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Havu Yosef, Garsi, Beni Amude. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they would sit and they would study between the Amudim, the pillars over here in the Beis Medrash. Now, the Gemara in Brachos taught us over there that we had a whole discussion, should they or should they not daven in a minyan, or is it better to daven in the place that they learn? Others said, no, they davened over there, even with a minyan, as opposed to going to the shul with a bigger minyan. So in any event, what they were doing over there was they would learn in that place, and then they would daven in that place, and they also would announce every hour. V'chol shaita v'shaita, every hour they would say, havutavche a ivra. The dasha, they would bang on the door. There's like a bolt in the door that normally would lock the door, so they would bang on that and the armory, and they would say, if anybody has a din that needs to be adjudicated, come to us and we'll judge them. We'll go and the Bali Dinim should come to us and we will go and judge them. So you see from here, remember we had the Gemara in Brachos as well, how important it is. It's considered like Talmud Torah when you're judging and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. So they felt it was so important that not only is this something that's not Bittul Torah, it's considered learning, but it's even more important that they would actually announce, they would look to go and get people to come to be adjudicated. Similarly, Rav Chisda, Rabbi Rav Huna, Aviyasi Bedina Kul Yoma. Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna were sitting in judgment all day. They were dining other cases and have a kocholish libayu. So they were upset, so to say. They were mitzvah. Rashi has two pshatim over here. The first pshat that Rashi says is mitzvahin shalo osku oso hayom mitorah. They were upset that they didn't learn. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat because he says that it would have said the cholosh datayu. They would have been upset in their mind as opposed to in their heart, which implies a physical. So Rashi's preferred pshat over here, v'linira, the ain't zeloshun libayu, eloshun cholosh datayu. But they were upset that not learning, it should have said cholosh datayu. And therefore, since it said cholosh libayu, it means loshun tainus. In other words, they didn't have a chance to eat all day, so they were feeling weak because of that. So that's what it means, having cholosh libayu. So, Tana Luhu, Rav Chiya bar Rav Midifti, so Rav Chiya bar Rav from Difti, the name of a place, said that Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayamo to Amma, Moshe in a Boker at Er. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was judging the people from the morning until the evening. So, really? Is that what happened? Do we really think that Moshe Rabbeinu was judging the people the entire day? If Moshe Rabbeinu was judging 12 hours a day, Torah, so Mosai Nasis, how would he ever learn Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. Ella, what does it mean when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Yadayomar Alma Moshe in the book of an Erev? It means a Lomaloch to teach us called Dayon Shadon Din Emes Lamito. If a judge goes and judges something truthfully and properly, Afilu Shoach, even if he doesn't do this all day, Mal of Akosov, the reward for such a person, it says about such a person, Kilu Nasa Shutav LaKodesh Baruch Hu B'Masiv Reishis. He's considered like a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. How do we see this? Because over here we have the Pasuk, Sikha Ha, Bayamun Abba Moshe Min HaBoker at Arab. It uses the language Boker at Arab, and we have by Ma'aseh B'Reishis, which is Chosav, here Arab, Boker Yom Echad. So therefore, this similarity in the Psukim tells us that if a person judges, then he's like a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosus points out of here this double lotion of don emes lamito is a little bit strange. So it means as opposed to a person who's lafuke din miruma, like an incorrect type of a judgment, somebody who doesn't judge properly. So the Chasam Sofer asks over here, are we talking about Rishayim, that they intentionally go and judge improperly? So he explains, no, the person who judges over here, this din meruma, this improper din, is what we call shuda de daini. That's when the judges don't have a clear halachic precedent to go and say the halacha is this way or that way, but they're entitled to go and say, this is what we think, this is our best judgment. So here, a person could make a mistake, and therefore that's what it's talking about over here, don din meruma. Now that the Gemara just said that it didn't mean that he really judged me, Boker, right, Erev, that was an allusion to my separation. So then how long should they judge? At what point did the judges stop judging? When's the day over? Ad Mos Hayoshim Adin, until when do the judges judge? When can they get up from their being Dan the Dinim? So Amar Rav Sheshes says, it says, Adzman Suda, until the time that a judge would eat. Now when is this? So this is in the middle of the day, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. So the judges would go and work until the sixth hour of the day, and then they would go and break, and they would go and eat. Amar Rav Chama, where do you get this from? Oh my crow, what's the source for this? So the Pasuk says, Dersiv, Eloch Eretz Shamal Kech Noar, it's not a good thing if your king, your melech over here, acts like a nar. A nar is a person who eats at an earlier time and is not considered a mature person. And also that the sarayach, the leaders, the sarim over here, the ministers, that they also eat earlier in the morning. So it's much better. Asherech ha'eretz, the land is much better off if their king, shemalkech ben chorim, v'sarayach ba'es yochelu b'gvura v'lo b'shasi, if the king and the officers, they all eat at the proper time. So what is this proper time? We'll see in a moment. This will tell us when is the proper time for a person to eat. But the Gemara finishes off over here and says, Bigvura Shel Torah. This pasuk over here that says, Bigvura Velo Bashasi. What does that mean? It means Bigvura Shel Torah, that they're strengthening themselves over here with the learning of Torah, and not Velo Bashasi or Shel Yayin, and not that they're making themselves inebriated and drunk over here with wine. In other words, they understand what's really important in this world, and that's a great king, that's a great officer, that they're involved in Torah learning and not in the physical pleasures of the world like drinking wine. Now, we just said that the judges would eat at the sixth hour of the day. So where do we get this from? So Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, brings down a brisa. Shor Rishona, Maichul Ludim. The people who eat in the first hour of the day are a strange group of people. They're the people who come from Lud. What is this? Rashi explains, Uma Shakorin Kanlish. These are people that are known as the Kanlish, which sounds like cannibals, and that's exactly what it is. V'ochlei Odom Heim. They're people that eat other people. Hein Rav Sonin. And these are gluttons over here. They eat other people, and they eat right away in the morning. They don't have time to wait till later in the day. The second hour, you also have people that are somewhat gluttonous. They eat so early in the morning. Shnei Michael Liston, these are robbers. They're staying up all night. They're hungry in the morning, and they want to eat, and they go and eat in the second hour of the day. In the third hour of the day, Shlishis, Michael Yorsha. Those are rich people. They inherited their money. They don't have to work for their money. And therefore, they're also eating earlier in the day. They don't have to work for their money, so they could go eat at an earlier time. In the fourth hour of Yis, Michael Poalim. After the workers work in the morning, they come in for their late breakfast, so to say. That's in the fourth hour. And the Chamishis, Michael Kolodim. That's the rest of the people. Gemara says, really? Ini? Is that so? The people that don't have to work so hard, but they're not necessarily rich, so they eat in the fourth hour of the day, and it's the fifth hour of the day that's the laborers, the poalim. So Gemara says, Elo, you're right. Revius Michalodim, the Brisa really should say in the fourth hour the regular people eat, and the poalim, Chamisha Michal Polim, that's when the people have to work very hard for their living, so they eat in the fifth hour. They have to work all the morning, and they finally get to eat in the fifth hour. And finally, the Tamidei Chachamim, Shishis Michal Tamidei Chachamim, they're learning all morning, they're judging all morning, and they eat in the sixth hour of the day. But if you eat after that, somebody eats in the afternoon, that's not good for anybody. Mikan Ve'elach, the Brisa says, Kizorik Evin V'chemis. That's like a person who throws a rock into a leather of wine. The Chemis is like a jug that they had, but they were made out of leather, that they would put wine into it. So the container, the Chemis, has a certain amount of wine in it. You could artificially make it heavier and have the wine look like there's more wine in there by putting a rock inside of it, but that doesn't add anything to the wine. That just displaces the wine and makes it look like there's more wine in there, but you haven't added anything to it. So therefore, a person who eats later in the day, so it looks like he's eating, it looks like he's adding something to it, but it's absolutely of no benefit whatsoever. However, Abaye qualifies this. Amr Abaye, he says, this is only true, that it's like throwing a rock into a bottle of wine, and it doesn't really do anything for you. That's if you didn't have any breakfast at all. At some point, it's actually going to be not beneficial to you to eat. But if you had a breakfast in the morning, so then, less than but, then there is no danger in eating later in the day, because I guess your body, they're trying to tell us, is not going to be in a starved condition, and it will be able to absorb more properly the nutrients. I'm not sure that that's the mechanism, but that's what the Gemara tells us. Now, before we had talked about the bathhouse that a person would go into and he shouldn't go into it before he davens mincha. So now we'll have a couple of dinim about the bathhouse. Amar Rav Rabba, mispal odim tefilos beis hamerchatz. A person is allowed to go and daven to say Shmoneh Esrei inside the bathhouse. So now we have to understand how their bathhouses were. So Rashi reminds us over here that their bathhouses were constructed in the following way. Merchatz shalehen gimul chadorim. Their bathhouses had an outer chamber, a middle chamber, and an inner chamber. That's the way the bathhouses were conducted. What was done in the middle, in the inner chamber? Pinimi lazia. The innermost one was, that was the water was, that's where they go shvitz over there. That was the innermost chamber. Emtsoi, the middle chamber, shiorid lesochem in amechatz. When you're coming out of the bath, in the inner chamber, where you're schwitzing and you're bathing, so then they go into the middle chamber over here, and that's where they'd get dressed and undressed. Velo vesh chaluko. So some people are somewhat dressed in there, some people are getting dressed in there. And then you go out to the outermost chamber, you're already dressed, nobody's not dressed there, but that's where they put on their tie, that's where they put on their jacket, that's when they get finished dressing. And then they would sit there a little bit in the outermost chamber and get over their tiredness from coming out of the merchatz. Also, the way their merchotz, their bathhouses, were constructed. So now the Gemara says, we're going to question over here that you're saying you're allowed to daven in the merchatz. So Meisvei. Brisa seems to challenge Rav Adda Bar Abba's statement. He's an Amora, so he can't face up to a Brisa without explaining it. Hanichnas the Beis HaMerechatz, if somebody goes inside the Beis HaMerechatz, so it depends where. Makom Shnei Odom Omdim V'Levushim, in the outermost chamber where you enter into the bathhouse where everybody's fully dressed, so over there, Yesha Mikra, you're allowed to learn over there, you can say Kriya Shema over there, or Tvila, and you can daven Shmoneh Esrei over there. Ein Tzarech Lomar Sheila Shalom, and certainly you can go greet somebody and say Shalom Aleichem when you use Hashem's name, that's certainly allowed. If you're allowed to learn over there, you can say Kriya Shema, if you can say Shmoneh Esrei, certainly you can say Shalom Aleichem to somebody. And likewise, or miniach tefillin, you can even put your tefillin on. Never mind, you don't have to take your tefillin off. They used to wear their tefillin all day, so they'd walk into the bathhouse with their tefillin on. But let's say you weren't wearing your tefillin, you wanted to put it on, you'd be allowed to go and put it on over there, and certainly you don't even have to take it off. Then in the middle chamber, Malkum Shnei Adam Omdim Arumim Ulevushim. What we said in the middle chamber, the people coming in from the outside, that's where they start getting undressed. And the people coming in from the innermost chamber where they bathe, so they would go into the middle chamber and start to get dressed. So the people are half dressed, half not dressed. Arumim Ulevushim. So in this chamber over here, the middle chamber, Yeshom Shalom Shalom. You'll have to say Shalom Aleichem to somebody, even though it's Hashem's name, you can say that. However, in this middle chamber where people are partially unclothed, the Ein Shah Mikra Utvila, you're not allowed to say Shema over there, you can't say Kriya Shema, you can't learn over there, Utvila, and you can't go and say Shemoneh Esrei. However, if you're wearing your tefillin, you don't have to take them off. Ein Cholei Tefillin. If a person is wearing his tefillin, he doesn't have to take them off. However, you wouldn't go and put them on in that place over there. Ein Miniach L'Chadchila. A person doesn't put his tefillin on in that place, that's improper. Then in the innermost chamber, Malkum Shmei Odom Om Dimarumim, everybody's naked on the inner chamber, that's where they're bathing, that's where the Shvitz is. So Ein Shom Shalom Shalom, you're not even allowed to greet somebody and say Shalom Aleichem, because that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. And certainly, if you're not allowed to say Hashem's name, Shalom Aleichem, you certainly can't go and learn to say Kriya Shema or Shmoneh Esrei over there. Then Sarach Loma, you certainly can't say Mikro Tvila. And if you were wearing your tefillin over there, the whole tefillin, you must take off your tefillin, and of course, it doesn't have to tell me, of course, you can't put them on over there. Now, Rav Adda Bar Abba taught us, without giving any specifications to it, that a person is allowed to go and daven over there in the bathhouse. So how can that be? You're not allowed to daven over there. Now, you might have thought that maybe he's talking about the outermost chamber, but it doesn't specify that, so you can't assume he means the outermost chamber. Mustami means even the innermost chamber, but that's wrong. The Brisa disagrees with Rav Adda Bar Abba's statement that you can learn or say Kriya Shema in the innermost chamber. Shmuel says, you're right. When Rav Adda Bar Abba said you can learn any place in a bathhouse, he's talking about the Merchatz Shein Bo Adam. It's a bathhouse where nobody is in over there. And therefore, you can daven in that bathhouse. So nobody's naked over there, you can daven over there. Where says, that's not right. Rav Yossi Bar Chanina said, Merchatz She'amru, that which we said, that you're not allowed to daven in a bathhouse. Afa Pi Shein Bo Adam. Once it was used as a bathhouse, so even though there's nobody there right now, there's nobody naked there right now, you're still not allowed to go and daven in that innermost chamber because it's not appropriate. And likewise, Beis HaKisa Shamru, Afa Pi Shein Bo Tzoa. Likewise, in a bathroom, you can't daven in a bathroom even if the toilet was flushed. And even though there is no tzoa there right now, it's a disgusting place. And a person isn't allowed to daven there, even if there is no excrement over there. Of course, you can't daven if there's tzoa, if there's excrement, if there's feces over there. However, you might have thought that if there's no excrement over there, that you would be allowed to go and daven. Oh, Kamash Malone, you're not. So therefore, how can Rav Adda Bar Abba tell us that we're talking about a bathhouse that nobody was in? Even in a bathhouse that nobody was in, if it was used previously as a bathhouse, a bathroom that nobody was in, if it was used previously as a bathroom, you're not allowed to daven over there. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, that's also not the answer. Ella. When Rav Adda Bar Abba said that you're allowed to go and daven in a bathhouse, b'charati, he was talking about in a bathhouse that was built, but it wasn't yet used as a bathhouse. It could be used for anything else, theoretically. It was never used as a bathhouse, even though they built it as a bathhouse. In that type of a bathhouse, he holds that hasmona lav milsahi, the designation of this as a bathhouse, doesn't take effect until it's actually used as a bathhouse. So Rav Adda Bar Abba over here, paskin hasmona lav milsahi. More questions that. Gemara says, wait a second. Ravina, who comes after Rav Adda Bar Abba in the scale of the Amoraim, Ravina was one of the latter. Ravina and Ravashi were the redactors of the Gemara. So Ravina came at the very end of the Gemara period of time after Rav Adda Bar Abba. So he was still asking the question, do we say Hazmana Milsi or Hazmana Lav Milsi? His Minul Beisa Kisi Mahu, if they designated a room to be the future bathroom, but it was never used as a bathroom, Yesh Zimun or Ein Zimun, do we say Hazmana Milsi, designating it is considered significant and now it's a bathroom, or do we say no? Designation alone is not enough, you have to use it. Now, if Ravina didn't know the answer to this question, he didn't know whether it's Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana Lav Milsi, well, if she had the line, he couldn't answer it. Now, it obviously wasn't decided in the earlier generations, and therefore, lavu adin lemerchatz. If by a bathroom they didn't know, so the same din mistam applies to a bathhouse. So if Ravina didn't know the answer mistam to the bathroom, which he said specifically mistam, he also doesn't know for the bathhouse. So then, how could Rav Adda Bar Abba have made a psak on this? Ravina should have known it. So Mora says, no, that's not right. Lo. Mora says, Dilma, return to the Yomid Beis. Dilma, shiny Beis Akisa Demois. No, maybe, in fact, Ravina only had a question in regards to a Beis Akisa, because that's essentially such a horrible place. It's such a mozdika place, a disgusting place. So therefore, that's Hazmana Milsa or Hazmana Lav Milsa. However, a bathhouse is not necessarily so bad. So maybe in that situation, Rav Adda Bar Abba paskened it, and Ravina agreed to it. And therefore, the fact that Ravina had a question about a Beis Akisa doesn't mean he had a question about a bathhouse. And therefore, Rav Adda Bar Abba could be telling that his din, that you're allowed to daven in the bathhouse that was never used, is because he paskens Hazmona Lav Milsahi. Now, in the braisa that we just learned, we said, Ein Shom Sheila Sholom, that in certain places within the bathhouse, the Merchotzos, you're not allowed to go and say Hashem's name in the innermost chamber. You can't say Sheila Sholom. So this seems to be a raya, Messiah Le, Rav Amnuna, Mishmei de Ula. This seems to be a raya to what Rav Amnuna said in the name of Ula. And what did he say? The Omar. Also, Liyodim Shiitin Sholom Chaveri Beis Merchotz. Who also said that you're not allowed to go say Shalom Aleichem to somebody in the Beis HaMerchotzos. Why is that? Because Mishum Sheinemar Vayikro Lo Hashem Shalom. Because Hashem is called Hashem Shalom. And therefore, one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom, and you shouldn't say the shame of Hashem in the innermost chamber where people are not dressed. Gemara says, if that's so, El Meyata, so we have other names that you're allowed to say in the innermost chamber of the bathroom. Why are you allowed to say them? Hey Manusa, Nami Yosu L'meim HaVezek, he said that one shouldn't be allowed to say that Hashem's name is Hemanusa, you shouldn't be allowed to say that, Emuna, in the innermost chamber of the bathhouse. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, Dichsiv, Hakel HaNaman. So Hashem is referred to as the Naman, Hemnusa. So you shouldn't be allowed to say that word inside the innermost chamber of the bathhouse. So you're going to say, Tak, okay, v'chitei mahochanami. Yeah, you're not allowed to. Just like you can't say Shalom over there, you can't say Kel HaNemon, you can't say Nemon over there, but that's not true. Now, this series of Amoraim over here, it's important to note because we're now going to have, after that, when we finish our sugi here, we'll have a whole bunch of other members. The Gemara often has a style when they have a not-so-common mandiomar, and he says something. So here we have Rav Bar Mechasya saying in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, saying in the name of Rab. That's not a very commonly found series of Amoraim. So we'll list all of the members that he made, even though they have nothing to do with our sugya. In any event, we'll get to that in a moment. But here we see that he paskened over here, Shari Lemaymar Hemnusa, the basic he said, you're allowed to say the name Nemon, Hemnusa, in the Beis Akisa. So how come you can't say Shalom, but you are allowed to say Hemnusa? They both refer to Hashem Osel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. One is Hashem Shalom, and here it says that it is the shame of Hashem, Hakel HaNamon. So how come one yes, one no? So Gemara says no. In regards to the word Hemnusa, Hasam, Shame Gufe Lo Ikri Hochi. That's not a proper noun. That was like an adjective. The Mitargiminon Elokah Mehemna. It's explaining that this is our God, Elokah, Who is Mehemna? Who is the faithful God? So it's really over there, not used as a shame, a proper name of Hashem, as opposed to by Shalom. There, Hacha, Shem Gufe Ikre Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Yikre Lo Hashem Shalom. That's not Hashem who makes Shalom, that is Hashem Shalom. And therefore, Dirsev, Yikre Lo Hashem Shalom. So that's the distinction between these two names. Shalom you can't say, Hemnusa you can't say. Now, as I pointed out, once we have one member that's a little bit unusual for the Amorayim, Rav Bar Mechasi, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav, so we'll have another member. And he says, "Hanosin matana lechaveru tzarich lodio." If a person gives a gift to somebody else, he gives a matana to somebody else, you can't let it go unacknowledged. You have to go and tell him. Where do we see this from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar lodas keni Hashem mekadishchem. Last week's parasha, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I want you to know that I'm Hashem, who is the one that made you Kodesh." So because of that, so we see that Hashem wanted to notify us that he was the one that gave us the gift over here, the gift of Shabbos, and therefore, you should know that. So Hashem says, I want you to know that I gave you the gift of Shabbos. And the Brisa says the same thing. The Pasuk says that you should know that Hashem is the one that made us Kodesh. So what's going on? Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I have this wonderful, beautiful present called Shabbos in my storehouse over here, my treasure house. The Shabbos Shema, and the name of this wonderful treasure is Shabbos. And I want to give it to the Jewish people. I want all of the Jewish people to have this wonderful present called Shabbos. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Vahodiyem. Go and let him know. Tell him. Tell him I gave him this gift of Shabbos. And we see from here, Mikanam HaRoshim HaGamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that this is a modus operandi that Hashem wants us to do. When you give a present to somebody, you got to let him know. I know, Saint Paslatino, if you give a piece of bread to a child, you give a candy to a child, Tzarech Lodia Li'imo, you must let the mother know. This will build and strengthen the chavivos of Klal Yisrael. One will appreciate each other more in these times, especially that we find ourselves in now, when we're unfortunately forced to distance from each other. So this is especially important. We should do things that demonstrate and show our desire to be with our friends. And if we can't even be with them physically, we have to stay away from them. We have social distancing, but nevertheless, we should go and try to demonstrate other ways that we want to be close to them. So again, you have to let the child know that you gave a piece of bread to this child. Let the mother know that you gave a piece of bread to the child. How are you supposed to do this? My Ovid Lay. You can't tell the child. Tell your mother. The child is going to forget. So what do you do to the child? So Abaye says, Shayef Lay Mishra. Go and smear some oil around the eyes, Rashi says, Umala Lekuchla, or go and put some like rouge or something, some paint the eyes in some way. This concept of Mali Lekuchla used to do all sorts of medications and all sorts of applications to the eye. So Rashi says, Nosin Kachol Savivino, you go and color the eyes. B'chein Lashon HaMetalma, this is the normal Lashon that we have over here. And this, the parents will say, hey, how come you have oil between your eyes? Or how come you have this paint around your eyes? And the kid will say, oh yeah, Yanko put it there. Oh, the mother said, what did Yanko do? He gave me bread. Oh, very nice. Aydigmar says, if people see over here the child walking around with oil or the child walking around with some sort of a paint around his eyes, they're going to wonder, maybe this is a little bit witchcraft over here. In those days, there was a concern of Maisik Shafin. They would do sort of black magic. So what should you do then? You can't do this rubbing of the oil or of the makeup over there. So how can you inform the parent? So I'm a papa. If you gave the kid chocolate, smear some chocolate on the kid's cheek. And this way the mother will say, hey, how'd you get chocolate over there? And the kid will say, oh, Yanko gave me some chocolate. And this way you'll accomplish the same thing. Now, it seems to say over here that it's a good idea to make sure that when you give a gift that you inform the parent in this roundabout way, as we said. So more questions. It's really, Ini, are you supposed to inform the person? Said, you don't have to go and tell him. Why is that? We see from the end of this past week's parasha, Shenemar, Moshe Yodaki Koran Or Pono B'Dabar We Tell. Moshe had this glow about him, right? He was Koran Or, but he didn't even know about it. Everybody else had to look away. It was too bright. Moshe had to put a mask on to cover it up, but Moshe didn't even know he had it. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this present and didn't tell him. So therefore, Rav Chama Bar Chanina says, who says you have to tell when you give a present? Moshe says, no. Lo kasha. There's an easy way to reconcile this. They're not in argument with each other. When it's going to become known that you got this present, everybody's going to say, hey, Moshe, your face is glowing. What's going on? So Moshe's going to eventually know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to tell him. However, the kid comes home. He ate up all the food. He ate up the candy. So the mother's not going to know the kid got candy. The kid's never going to remember to tell his parents, so-and-so gave me candy, so-and-so gave me some bread. And therefore, it's not going to become clear that this person did this chesed, and it won't cause the chavivus, the love, for one year to another. So therefore, you should go and bedavka tell him. So wait a second, Mor says, "Vah Shabbos David Legluye." What? We made up Shabbos on our own? We didn't get it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course we got it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we would eventually have known that Shabbos came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why did Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I want you to know, Leman Teida, that you should know that this is Shabbos will make you holy. So Mor says, no. Shabbos we would know about. However, Matan Schar Lo Avid Legluye, we wouldn't know the unbelievable reward that a person gets for observing Shabbos. So therefore, that is what Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell the Jewish people, that the reward for Shabbos is infinite. But Shabbos, of course, we know what we get it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where else would we have gotten it from? Mara says a story. Now, there's the Zroa L'chayayim, the Keba, that you have to give as Matnos Kahuna, one of the 24 Matnos Kahuna, that you give to a Kohen from a non-sanctified animal, from a regular Chulin animal that you shecht, not in the base of Mikdash, you shecht an animal. So you have to give a portion to the Kohen, the Zroa L'chayayim in the Keba, the right foreleg of the animal, forearm of the animal, the front forearm of the animal. On the right, the l'chayayim, or the cheek area, the jaw area, and the keva, the stomach area. So you have to give these things as presents to the Kohen. So Ruchitzda, he had in his hands, having knocked biyode, tartim at nosa the Torah. He had in his hands two of the three presents of anaxia, the zor l'chayayim, let's say, and not the keva. That's the way the Marsha understands this over here. Rashi understands it, however, as saying that he had two sets over here of zroa l'chayayim and keva. In any event, Omar, so Rav Chisda had this in his hand, and he said, I'm willing to give this away. Rav Chisda was a Talmud of Rav, and he's so interested in hearing Divrei Torah from Rav. He said, if anybody can tell me something that I don't know from Rav, a new halacha that I don't know from Rav, so if they can tell it to me, I will give them this present over here. Now, Rav Chisda was a Kohen, so he had these gifts of Kahuna, but they're not like Truma. A Kohen can't give away Truma to a Yisrael and say, it's okay, I'm letting you have my Truma. No, it's also for the Yid to eat Truma. Yisrael to eat Truma is also, even if the Kohen lets him. But the Zroa L'chayayim and Keva are Matnos Kahuna that don't have the status of Truma. So, therefore, a regular Yid could eat them. And Rav Chisda was willing to give this Matnos Kahuna, which is Chulin, to a regular Yid who told him a Maisa, a Shmaisasa, in the name of Rav. So, along comes Rava by Machasya, Amalo Rava by Machasya. I'll tell you a nice Vart. This is what Rav said. Vart over here in our Gemara. Rav Chisda didn't know this, and Rava by Machasya tells it to him that if you're giving a present to somebody, you have to let them know, based upon the pasuk. This pasuk, this drasha that we just spent a few minutes learning, so this was the chiddush that Rava by Machasya told to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was very happy with this, and Yavinielei, so he gave him the presents, he gave him the Matnas Kahuna to Rava by Machasya. So Rava by Machasya is very impressed. Omar, he says to Rav Chisda, Chavivin Allah Shmaisasa de Rav Kuli Hai, wow, you really love a vart from Rav so much that you're willing to give me this Matnas Kahuna. It must have been a nice chunk of meat, and it was an expensive gift. So I'm in. Rav Chisda says, yeah, anything I hear from Rav, I hold very, very dear. So Rav by Machasya tells him, I'll tell you another vart then. Amalei, Hainu Dama Rav, this is what Rav said, Melosa Alvishayu Yakira. What does this mean over here? So Rashi says, Mi'il dom of yikarim, a garment that's worth a lot, is worth more to a person, l'misha rogil losho. If a person is accustomed to wearing a certain type of garment, so he's willing to pay more for that garment than somebody else. So if you get accustomed to wearing an expensive garment, so you're willing to pay more for an expensive garment. Somebody else may not be willing to pay for that. Kolomar, l'fisha ato tamidu shirav. So therefore, Rav Machasya tells him, you're a Talmud of Rav Chisda, and therefore, v'rogil b'shmuwalsav, and you are very, very familiar. You sat and learned by him, so you know a lot of his Torah. So you want to hear more of his Torah. You like the person who has a fondness for a certain type of a garment, and therefore you want to get more of it. So Amar Lei Rechista. So Rechista says back to Rav Machasya, Amar Rav Hachi, Rav said that? Ugh. I wish I had more matnos to give you. Basraisa adifalim kamaisa. This last word is even more interesting and enjoyable to me. Why is that? Because this one involved me personally, because it says that if somebody's a Talmud of somebody, that they enjoy the Varts from their Rebbe more. So this was even more personal to me than the first Vart, which is a very nice Vart, but it doesn't relate directly to me personally. So that's why I said, Basraisa, the second Vart that you told me, the name of Rav, Adifalim Mikamaisa, is even better than the first Vart that you said. And therefore, if I had another Matnas Kuhuna, the Haba Nokitno Achrite, if I had another one, according to Rashi, if I had a third set, according to the Maharsha, if I had the third of the three, I only gave you the Zor L'Chayim, I wish I had the Keva, I'd give that to you too, Yoiv Noloch, I would go and give it to you. The Mark continues and says, another Vart in the name of Omarova, by Rechasya, Omarachama, Barguri, Omarav, we have another Vart over here, and he said as follows, Lo'olom, Ayishana, Odom, Bino, Bena, Bonim. A person has to be very careful not to cause jealousy amongst the siblings. Sibling rivalry is something that a parent has to be very attuned to. You have to make sure that you never cause rivalry amongst the siblings. Where do we know this from? Shevishil Mishkal, Shnei Sloyim, Melas, because of a certain amount of wool over here. Melas is wool. We just had the word melasa. It meant a fine garment, a woolen garment. Because Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef a little bit more wool than everybody else. Rashi explains over here that he gave it to him on the sleeve. He gave him a little bit more. Everybody had garments, and the ksonis pasim that Yosef got was a little bit on the sleeve. So he had a slightly finer garment than the other brothers. Niskanu boyachav. Unfortunately, they became very jealous of Yosef. Niskal galadov of yardu avaseinu Mitzrayim. And we know the whole maisa of the brothers and Yosef, and that caused us to all go down to Mitzrayim. Because of that little bit of extra, there was favoritism that was shown to Yosef, that caused all of Klai Yisrael tremendous problem. Another statement, a person should always try and go and live in a town that is a newer town. It's nearer. It doesn't mean physically nearer. It means it's newer. Why? Because it's a newer town. It hasn't been around so long. It hasn't had a history of doing sins. It's going to have less sins. And that's good for you because a town will be destroyed when it reaches, so to say, its load of sins. Hashem will destroy it. And therefore, it's better to live in a younger town, a newer town that won't have used up, so to say, its time, and you'll be able to live in that town longer. Where do we see this from? Shinemar. We find the interesting pasuk when Lot is running away from Sodom, so he's escaping Sodom, so he tells the Malachim, Hinei Noha Irazos, Krova Lo Noshoma. There's a city over here that's Krova, and we should escape over there. Which city is that? Behi Mitzar. Now, my Krova, what does it mean that the city is near? Ilema Krova de Mikrova, you're telling me that it's right over there. It's nearby, Vizuta, and it's very small, so why would he have to tell it to them? They could see it. V'ha-ka-chazula. It's right over there. So if that's what his intention was, he wouldn't have to tell them, hey, it's right nearby. They would see that it's right nearby. El, the word Krova, what does it mean? El mitok sheshivasa Krova. It's a newer city. Avanosel mitzuara. It's going to have less sins than Sodom, and therefore it won't be destroyed like Sodom is about to be destroyed. And where do we see this? That the city of Mitzar is in fact going to be a newer city, we'll see, by 1 year than Sodom. So I'm a Rabin, Micro, what's the source for this? So the Pasuk says, Dirsiv, Imolta na Shama. The word na, please let us go there, is a little bit extra. And the Nun and the Aleph are a Gematria for 51. Nun Aleph be Gematria, Chamshin v'chad havi, it's 51. And this therefore alludes to the idea that the city of Mitzar was actually 51 years old. And Vishal Sodom, where Lot was escaping from, Chamishim Ushtaim was 52 years from. Rashi goes through a whole arichas over here, how we actually know this. It's all dependent upon when Aver's son was Peleg. So it tells us certain details in relation to Peleg's life. Anyway, Ayin Shom and the Rashi. But the bottom line is that we see that the city of Mitzar is going to be 51 years old and the city of Sodom is 52 years. And by the way, the city of Sodom was 52 years, but it didn't live 52 years in peace. Vishalvasa, the amount of time that Sodom was actually not in war, is only 26 years. And where do we see this? We turn to the Amud Aleph, Chavav, it's 26 years, Dichsiv, the famous fight between Kedor LaOmer, the four kings against the five kings. So for 12 years, Dichsiv Shtemasar Shana of Duez Kedor LaOmer, for 12 years they were subservient to Kedor LaOmer, and then for another 13 years after that, Ushul Shishon Moradu, they rebelled against Kedor LaOmer. So 12 and 13 is 25, will be Abasre Shana. In the 14th year, which is the 26th year from its existence, they went and fought Kedor LaOmer, they killed Kedor LaOmer. So after that, after the 26 years of war or subjugation from Kedor LaOmer, they had 26 years of peace before Sodom was destroyed. I forgot to mention at the start of the year that today is the yard site for Chaya Bas Yosef, Claire Weinstein, Jay's mother, and Be'ezus Hashem, learning was for Le'ilui Nishmasa. That concludes today's year.